You clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast.
Thank you, Amy. And great to be home. It's great to be here at SUBI and to see you. If I haven't had a chance to speak to you individually, it's nice seeing you all. Yeah, somebody clap. There we go. Well, thank you. Well, and yeah, lovely traveling, wonderful holiday. They spoiled us, but it's always good to come home. And SUBI Church is home for us, so just great to be here. How many of you had a chance to watch any of the inauguration of Barack Obama? You know, it's historic, isn't it? It was an amazing thing, and you know, you don't have to be an American to have an interest in it. We had just gotten back from our trip, so our sleep times were all messed up. So I found myself 4:30 Tuesday morning wide awake, you know, watching the thing live. And I was watching as the motorcade was driving along the parade route, and then it stopped, and Barack Obama climbed out of the bulletproof car and began to walk along this parade route. And, you know, the minute you start seeing this, you're thinking, there are so many nutters in this world. Somebody might take a shot at him, you know, somebody, you know, some crazy loon. Even with all the security and all the precautions, you there was this tension, wasn't there? This, like, you know, this guy's in danger. I read an article later, and it talked about hope triumphing over fear, and talking about how he wanted, you know, he wasn't going to let people scare him in that sense. So he got out and walked this parade route, even though. But, you know, as I was watching it, I was not only concerned for him, I was then paying attention to all these Secret Service guys. You know, because they're walking along there, and these guys have signed on the dotted line, I will throw myself in front of a bullet. You know, I will stand before a live gun and the president if need be. I will sacrifice my life for the presidents. And they have taken an oath to say that's what they're going to do. So I'm looking at their faces because this is real. You know, this isn't some drill or some practice run. There is a real danger, and these guys are now doing what they've prepared to do. You know something that was interesting about Secret Service guys? Do you realize that they have to undergo regular training each year, all the time? They are constantly being retrained every year. When they joined the Secret Service, sure, they signed a dotted, you know, they signed and said, I will sacrifice my life. But that's not enough. Because there's all these forces within us and all these things that are going on instinctively. And even, you know, the instinct of the law of self-preservation. You do not want to give your life. You don't, you know, instinctively, you do not want to step in front of a bullet. You won't do that instinctively. And so these guys have to, even within the year, are constantly being retrained because they're being asked to do something that goes against their instincts. They're being asked to perform a function that goes against everything else that's going on around them. I was thinking about that concept of this retraining when I was thinking about the metaphor towards spiritual formation. So much of what God calls us to goes against forces that are at work in our life. forces both internally and externally. So much of what God wants for us and desires for us, we have competing voices in society telling us the exact opposite thing. Some of you have been believers for more than 20 years. Some of you have been followers of Christ for 10, 5 years. You put your hand up and you said, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to give my life to you." But you know what? Here's the problem. There's all these forces at work. That it's not good enough that you just said, "Hey, 10 years ago, you know, I'm going to follow Jesus." There's things that need to be revisited and relearned and reflected on continually. We need to be reminded of some important things because we lose sight of it. We get drawn into following a path that really is not God's path at all. This morning, we're looking at a passage that is one of those important reminders. Things that we know, things that we've heard before, but we need to be called back to. We need to be reminded, this is what God desires for us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Some of the spiritual lessons to which we need reminding. And Peter brings them at the close of his letter. Peter was writing to Christians that were scattered because persecution had already begun. If you put your hand up and said, "I'm going to follow Jesus," there was a chance that you would lose your property, you could lose your liberty, you could lose your life. Bad things were happening to Christians already. And Peter's now writing to them and trying to address some of this. And he comes to the end of this letter. And in verse 5 he says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older." He's already been talking to elders. And I believe it's people who hold the office of elder, those in leadership. Then he talks to these younger men. And he's on this same thought. And he doesn't stop there. He quickly goes on and says, "All of you." Now he's talking to all of us. Doesn't matter. Young, old, whatever. He says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Clothe yourselves with humility. I'm a little old for Sesame Street. You know, even when I was born, it wasn't really a thing, so I missed out on that Sesame Street kind of deal, but I know about it. And, you know, and they do some really great things. Sesame Street, you know, you got the count, you know, teaching children, watch it and learn how to count 1, 2, 3 and all that. And you have the letter of the day. B is the letter of the day, you know, and boat and banana and all that kind of thing. So it's, you know, they're teaching his children. They have this one segment on Sesame Street, you know, and the segment had a song that went with it. And it went like this: "The most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you." So here, from a tiniest age, what are we being told? The world revolves around you. You're the most important person. Look after number one. Protect yourself. Look out for your own well-being. Peter comes back and he says, "Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Complete opposite message. You know, we have people who, you know, when they read these kind of things, they think, you know, what's so bad about pride? Why is pride such a bad thing? And you've got people in this world, the Donald Trumps or the Kerry Packers, who stand up and they throw their chest out and they say, "I'm a strong, independent, self-reliant man. I've made myself." And it's a virtue. Pride is not something to be looked down upon. Pride is something to be affirmed. I'm strong person. So what's this whole concept of humility in the Bible? It's like, do we really need that? One of the things that took place on our holiday this past time was when we're in the U.S., we always know the good places to shop. And my mother had even set apart a discount coupon for us for this one particular store so we could get like a really good bargain, get this extra monies off. And Tracy went and found a few things. She bought this watch and took it home, put it on her wrist, and in the end she determined, no, I really don't want this watch, so she was going to take it back. Went back to the shop, returned it, and they gave her her money back. They gave her the credit, gave her the money back, but inadvertently, the woman who had given Tracy the money back inadvertently put the watch back in the bag. So when Tracy gets home and she's pulling out all of her goodies, there's this watch that she has now gotten for free. You know, but you're home, right? You know, and you start to go through all the mental processes, right? Hey, look, it's not like I stole this thing. You know, I didn't like shoplift it or anything. It was just an honest mistake. It's no big deal. You know, and you know, I'm a pastor's wife. You know, I don't really get too many nice things come my way. And, you know, this is probably God's way of just saying, well done, Tracy. You know, good on ya, you know. So these are the thoughts, and you're laughing because you're like, you know this is what goes on. These are the thoughts that we kind of have in our minds. And you know what these thoughts are? We know what God desires. We know that God desires purity, He desires integrity, He desires honesty. But we do not submit to that. We put ourselves higher and we say, but what about me? This would be nice for me. This is a good thing for me. I don't care what God says. And my friends, that's pride. You are now saying, yeah, God says this, but I want this. We took the watch back. We hadn't paid for it. It didn't belong to us. It didn't matter that it was an accident. It wasn't ours. We took it back. This is what it means when we talk about this idea of humbling ourselves. The issue's pride, and it's deadly. Pride is what keeps us from saying, I need a Savior. I need to be forgiven. I'm not good enough on my own. Pride says, I don't need God. Look at the wording in this in verse 5. It says, clothe yourselves with humility. It's very, very rare, very, very unusual wording. You know those words there, clothe yourselves, are the words that was used of a servant when the servant would don an apron to do a menial task, an unwanted task. This is Peter writing this. Remember back in the upper room? They were there eating. And Jesus stood up. And Jesus wrapped the towel around his waist. And he got down on his knees and he got a basin. And he began to wash the feet of his followers. And you remember when it came to Peter, because no one else had stepped up to do it. They're all like, I'm not doing that job. Forget it. So Jesus does it. And when it came to Peter, he's like, hey, Jesus, you're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus says to him, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can have nothing to do with me. And Jesus goes on to say, what I have done for you, you do for one another. Put on the servant's apron. You know, there's these moments that get seared in our mind, these experiences. Do you think Peter ever forgot that moment in the upper room? No. I think that's exactly what he's thinking about here. Clothe yourself with humility. And look what it says. Clothe yourself with humility, not just toward God, but toward one another. Do you know what that means? It means if we really take this seriously, our lives can never just be, I'm just going to keep to myself. I'm just going to have this relationship with God. I'll just pray. I'll just read my scriptures. I'm going to come here and I'll worship and then I'm going to go and I'm not going to really be connected to anybody here. My friends, you can't do that. That's what this is saying. If we really start to take it seriously, it's saying that our lives need to be about service to one another. Putting on the servant's apron. Clothing ourselves with humility toward one another. You doing that? Where does service fit into your taxonomy of values? We're all busy people. We got places to go, people to see, things to do. The world tells us, hey, you're the most important person. Guard your time. Jesus comes back and tells us, I want you to be a servant. I want you to clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. It's one of these things we need to be reminded of, right? Because the world tells us the exact opposite. Look after yourself. Protect number one. The theological basis that we see behind this is a quote from Proverbs 4, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Think about this. If you mind your own business, you look after number one, God gives grace to the humble. He gives His favor. He gives His blessing to people who are serving others. You withhold that, you actually put yourself in opposition against God. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Some of you have heard me tell the story of Scott Peck that he tells. This woman was severely depressed for years and years, and she needed help. Peck is a psychiatrist, and he was going to pick her up. She couldn't even get a lift. She couldn't even drive a car. He picks her up, and he's going to bring her into his office. But on the way, he stops at a hospital. And while he's at that hospital, he says, look, you can sit in the car and just waste time, but here are a couple people that I've been treating. Why don't you just go and talk to them? So this woman who's been severely depressed, couldn't do anything. Her life was just a complete misery, a complete wreck. She goes and spends a few moments talking to these people who were in hospital. When Peck comes back, this woman has this beaming smile on her face. She's experiencing joy that she hasn't experienced for years. And Peck looks at her and he says, now we know what works. Taking your eyes off yourself and starting to serve others. This is where God gives grace to the humble. He lifts up those that humble themselves. You know what her response was when Peck said to her, now we know that what works. You know what she said? You mean I have to come here and do this every day? See, the world tells us you serve other people. That's menial. That's a drudgery. God's word tells us when we humble ourselves, we clothe ourselves with humility, God lifts us up. God blesses us when we honor each other. It's a message our world doesn't quite get. But we need to hear it, and we need to keep hearing it and keep hearing it, so we can be servants to one another. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Here's this idea that we abide under his authority. Coming back to this idea of submission to his authority, we humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And the words there are, allow yourself to be humbled. That's how the force of it reads. Allow yourself to be humbled. Remember, Peter's writing to people who are suffering. They're being persecuted. Some of them are losing their family. They're losing their freedom. It's hard going. Allow yourself to be humbled. And in God's time, he'll lift you up. You know what this verse speaks to? Sometimes life doesn't go the way we think it ought to. Sometimes life's hard. We meet trials and adversity. So what is our response to those adverse circumstances? I ever think about when I was age 7. I was at a worship service on a Sunday evening. And I was horsing around. And I was there standing in front of the building. And they had these glass doors. And it was the external glass door that opened out. And I was standing right in front of it. And a man came through the door, a grown man. He obviously did not see me. And with the full weight of his body, he threw that door open. And you know how these doors have a little lip at the end just to keep rain and all that to run off and stuff? It was a metal lip, and that hit deep into my heel. And I looked down, and I didn't realize that I had almost severed my Achilles tendon. But my sock was just filling with blood. Now, I ended up having to go to the emergency room, and I was in a lot of pain. I was just a child. I didn't understand what was going on. And they had to cut the sock off where it had dried, and they had to disinfect the cut and had to see what the damage was. And there I'm lying on my stomach, and every fiber in my body is telling me I need to run, I want to kick, I want to resist what these people are doing, who are actually bringing more pain into my life. They're making it worse. I don't understand what's going on. I have no comprehension of what these guys are doing. I don't know who they are. I've never met them before. But my mother was there. She's stroking my forehead, and she's reassuring me, and she's saying, "Son, it's going to be okay. They're here to help you. They're going to make you better. It'll be all right. I don't know what's going on, but I trusted her. I knew that her heart was for me." Do you see what this passage says? Look at verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God is not indifferent to your life. Sometimes in the midst of adversity, sometimes in the midst of trial, you can cry out and say, "God, where are you? Do you see what's going on? Do you care about what's going on?" That's what this passage is telling us. God cares for you. And even though your circumstances may not be pleasant, can you submit? Can you allow yourself to remain under God's steadying hand, trusting that in time He'll lift you up, and in His time? The counterpart to this whole thing about anxiety, you know what the antidote to anxiety and worry is? It's trust. That's what humility is about. Humility is about trust. It's saying to God, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't get it. I can't comprehend it all. But I will trust you that you are good. That you care for me. You haven't forgotten me. And if I submit, do as you ask me to do, and follow your way in due time, in your time, you will lift me up. You know, there's a follow-up to the watch story. I took the watch back. I actually was looking for a new watch. My watch had packed it in. I'm actually wearing this one, this new one. And so I was going to drop off the watch that Tracy didn't want and pick up my new watch. As I brought it up to the counter, I just said, we're here to return this. And she said to me, oh, do you have your receipt? And I said, no, you don't understand. You've already given us the money for the watch. It inadvertently got put in the bag. We're just returning it. We don't want anything. We're just bringing it back. The woman couldn't believe it. She was so overwhelmed that we were being honest about this and we were willing to return it. She said, look, you have this discount. I'm going to give you even more. I'm going to give you a 20% more discount on the watch you're buying. Do you realize we ended up saving more money by doing the honest thing? Now, it's not to say that it's always going to go that way. Right? Sometimes it does. Sometimes you're rewarded immediately. But it doesn't mean you always get the reward immediately when you humble yourself and you say, Lord, this is your way and your way is best. Sometimes the reward will not be material. The blessing will not be material. But here's what you have to understand. The scriptures say, we cast our cares upon the Lord. We trust Him. We humble ourselves and we submit to Him. In due time, He's going to raise us up. He's going to bless us. Some of us are missing out on God's blessing because we're unwilling to just trust Him and to submit to His way. Let's keep moving as we look at this. Verse 8, here's a verse you oftentimes hear. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do you understand that just as it says cast your anxiety, that's in the context of humility. We get anxious because we want to be in control. Now you have this statement about Satan is like this roaring lion and he wants to devour us. What's the context? Humility. You remember David? We're told in 2 Samuel 11, all the other kings were going out to battle, not David. The rules don't apply to David. I've made my bones, you know, I've done my time. I'm not doing that anymore. And then when he sees Bathsheba and he says, hey, who's this woman? And they say, that's Bathsheba, wife of Uriah. Wife. There's a boundary. Instead of David saying, oh, she belongs to someone else, he's like, I can still have her. She could still be mine. Do you see what David's problem is? It's pride. Here's God's way, and he puts his way higher. And what happened? His life was devoured. Anybody ever tells you pride never hurt anybody? You look at the life of King David. They lose a baby. Uriah loses his life. Absalom ends up dead. David's son Amnon ends up dead. David's life before that was up, up, up. And after his fall with pride, it is down, 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 down. Do you really believe that God is opposed to the proud? It destroys us because we make ourselves God. And Satan comes along and devours us. It says, resist him in the faith. You say, how do we resist him? The basics. Submission. Service. Trust. All the things that we've just talked about. Submission to his hand. Service to one another. Trust in all situations. This is how we stand firm. And look at what we see in verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Four things God says he'll do when we submit. Submit to his authority. When we trust him, we clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. Four things. Restore you, make you strong, hold you firm, hold you steadfast. God wants to lift us up. A great man once read this passage and he concluded this. He said, the way up is down. You want to be lifted up? You humble yourself. Submission, service, trust. These are things our world doesn't understand. We don't get encouraged in them. But it's what God desires for us. God wants to lift us up. Are we prepared to submit ourselves to him, serve one another, trust him no matter what happens? Would you bow with me now? As you think about your own life, I want to give you just a moment to reflect on these core practices of our faith. There are things that we just need to be reminded of time and time again. To humble ourselves in submission to his authority. To put it bluntly, that's obedience. Say, Lord, I will do what you ask, not what I want. I'll follow your way. Is that a struggle for you? What about clothing yourself with humility toward one another, serving others? Is that find a place, a practice in your life? Do you think you just kind of look after yourself and that's good enough? And what about trust? Even in suffering, even in difficulty, the Lord says, will you trust me? I love you. I haven't forgotten you. I want to exalt you in my time. To which one of these is God directing you to say yes? Submission, service, trust. Take a moment. Just pray quietly to yourself. Quietly in your own heart to the Lord, I should say. Lord. I will humble myself this day. Father, the world tells us that pride is a good thing. We're strong, self-reliant. Your word tells us to humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Lord, lift us up. Exalt us as we follow your way. As we serve one another, and as we trust you in all things. Thank you, Lord. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.